Keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a little bit tonight here in 2 Corinthians, but let me start, if I could have your attention, and if I can see your eyeballs, I know you're listening, or at least not sleeping. God tells us here that people are troubled, perplexed, persecuted, cast down. These were not unsaved people. These were Christians. They were paying a price for being a Christian. If you live right, people are going to persecute you. If you live right, people are going to oppose you. Many people think that when problems come or troubles or opposition comes, well, it must not be the will of God. Well, I'm here to tell you, I wait for the trouble to say, this must be the will of God. You see, the devil's not going to bother that which doesn't bother him. When you start bothering the devil, you're going to start raising a stink, amen? The polecat can walk by, and he can walk by you, but when you start troubling him, he's going to lift that tail. It's when there's opposition that the stink comes, amen? You see, the devil and the flesh will not oppose that which does not oppose them. Liberals fight at Christianity. Liberalism fights at truth because it wants to be its own God and its own truth. Now, I'm going to say something that might surprise you. Don't laugh too hard at first. I personally don't like conflict. I don't. I avoid conflict as much as I can. My wife will tell you, I don't like conflict. I'm not afraid to fight. I just don't like it. I'm not afraid to take a stand, but I don't like it. Now, Brother Lester Roloff, how many of you know the name Lester Roloff? Brother Roloff wanted to go down in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. He loved fighting. He did. He just, if he didn't have somebody to fight, he'd pick one just to have one. Dr. John Rice, same way. Good old Dr. Rice, he used to say, if somebody hadn't jumped on me in 4 weeks, I'm jumping on somebody. And he did. There are just some people that like to fight, not me. I don't like hearing people fight. I don't like hearing people argue. I don't like fussing. I don't like any of that. And I don't like being a part of it. But when it comes time to push or shove, you better know if it's time for me to push, I'm going to push. It takes a long time for me to get there. But when I do, look out because you're going down. I wait till I have enough rope that you hung yourself. Jesus faced opposition and criticism while he was here on earth. Let me say something. If the Son of God, who could live a sinless life, faced criticism and opposition, what chance do we have? Paul faced opposition and criticism throughout his whole ministry. Peter faced opposition and troubles his whole ministry. Half of it he created. Moses faced opposition and criticism continually. David and Daniel and Joseph and Jeremiah all faced opposition, trouble, criticism while they served God. Does that mean they weren't in the will of God? No, it means they were in the will of God. The very name Christian, I'm going to show you something here, came as a criticism. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Go back just a few pages there. Acts chapter 11. I'll show you the origin of the word Christian. Look at verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verse number 26. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples and every man according to his ability determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The word Christian did not come about until Acts chapter 11, and it was in criticism. These ones that are the Christ-like ones. Yes, sir. It was not a badge of honor. It was a criticism. You bear the name Christian in our society today, you better be a little bit tougher than you used to need to be. There used to be people that called themselves Christian, even though they weren't. They were proud of it, but now that's a dirty name. Everybody doing okay? People will criticize you if you live right. Trouble is going to come to you. People are going to try to persecute you. By the way, lost people as well as other Christians. Now, let me say this. I also know those things hurt. That hurts us. I don't like it when people don't like me. I'm just so likable. It's not easy to have people hate you unjustly. It's not fun to have people that believe things about you that aren't true and you don't defend yourself. It's not. But it comes with the territory. You see, it can be discouraging to go through battles. I'm just going to talk pretty frank with you tonight. It hurts when friends and family and people that you loved and respected now oppose and criticize and trouble you. I know what it's like. I've had many friends turn their back on me. I've had many people who taught me that have turned their back on what's right, and thus turning their back on me. I've had friends as close as a brother or a sister that have changed and they've hurt and criticized. I get it. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to make a statement here. How do you think God feels? Every one of us have gone astray. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and everyone turned according to his own way. God, I don't need you. I'll do it my way. We've all done that. You say, well, not me, preacher. You're on the road right now. And look how critical people are of God. Let's just put peanut butter on the bottom shelf and open the lid tonight. A baby dies either in the womb or just after birth, and everybody wants, well, I understand why God let that happen. Who said it was God's fault? God didn't sin. People sin. Well, that baby didn't. No, but that baby's parents are sinners. Everybody doing okay? Well, I don't understand why this happened. I don't know why God let that happen. Because you're looking at it through human eyes, not God's eyes. And there are some things God doesn't step in the middle of. Well, I got cancer. Why did God let me have cancer? God doesn't stop anything for anybody necessarily. Anybody doing okay? I know preachers who have died of cancer. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a call from a pastor friend of mine and said, pray for me. I got to go preach at a church. The pastor just died, 50-some years old, died of cancer. I got to go fill the pulpit and help the pulpit committee. I said, got you, Doc, praying for you. Brother Rick Walter stood in Aiken Center, 42 years old, died of cancer. Helped get his church going. That's where Brother Drullard's at right now. Drew Yod. Sorry, have to say it the right way. evil comes and evil attacks. Well, I just don't understand why God's letting it. Sometimes it's not God, it's sinners and the devil. God said it would come. It comes with the territory. By the way, it's not just because it's you. It's going to come. Yes, sir. Some of you have a pain that will not go away. I'm not talking about your spouse. But pain has come. I saw where some of you, your brains were going right away. Wait a minute. Some of you have had pains and things that have come to you that they're not going to pass till you go to heaven. I get it. But can I tell you something? That's not God's fault. It's probably one time too many that you said, "Watch this, y'all." Now hang on. God gets blamed for all those things, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Tonight, I want to give you a recipe. How do you stay on top when you're under attack? How do you stay on top when you're under attack? God gives us a step-by-step recipe to follow. I'm here to shout, I'm here to tell you, I've practiced it, I've lived it, it works every time. Now listen to me, you can't substitute things for this recipe though. This isn't one you're going to tweak it and do it your way. This is one you have to do it God's way or it isn't going to turn out. You know, there's sometimes you can fudge this for that and it'll come out the same. This isn't one you're going to fudge anything on. You have to follow the recipe as God gave it. Number one, I love this. Look at verse number 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Ingredient number one, you need abundant grace. I think I said this in Sunday school this morning. I'm going to say it tonight. There is nothing new under the sun. Yes, sir. There's no such thing as new truth. There's a song in Christianity. I'm not opposed to it, but it's called New Grace. It bothers me a little bit. It's not a matter of new grace. I need more grace. It's not that it's new. I just need more of it. Does that make sense to everybody? I know what the song means, but I just don't like fiddling with words the wrong way. God says he wants us to have abundant grace. Not just grace. He wants us to have abundant grace. Grace means favor, pleasure, or kindness. Grace is that favor or that pleasure or that kindness that's not deserved, but it's given anyway. So what is the word abundant? It doesn't just mean a lot. The word abundant means supernatural amount. It means spilling over, successful beyond measure. And God says that when the attack comes, you need grace in a supernatural dose. Brother, if you've never been in the battle for your life, you don't understand what I'm talking about. But when you're fighting for your life, you need a supernatural dose of God's grace. It can't just be a little, it's got to be a lot. And you don't even know how much to ask for. It's just, God, I need abundant grace right now. God says that only abundant grace can keep you out of the despair of attacks and trouble and criticism. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. How? By getting abundant grace. Amen. It doesn't come because you're strong. It comes because of the supernatural dose of God's grace in your life. Be careful you say, I want to experience God's grace, because you're going to be in a bad spot to need it. The grace of God is sweet and it's as precious as can be, but needing it really stinks. I live having to need the abundant grace of God. Wait till you have to go beside the bedside of someone who's dying and sit with their family knowing there's nothing you can say to give them comfort. But you're just going to show up and say, I love you and I'm here for you. I can't say anything that's going to fix it. But we'll stand there and go through it together. We'll rejoice. And then Loretta will make a crack and we'll laugh while Jimbo goes to heaven again for the third time. Are you done yet? I'll never forget that. Now, wait a minute. She was tired of it. Just give it up. Now, wait a minute. What was that? Abundant grace. That was the abundant grace of God. You see, so often we ask God to take the attack away. God says, I'd like to give you abundant grace and not take the attack away. We think grace comes when the attack leaves. God says, I'll give you abundant grace to endure the attack. I'll take the grace of God with criticism or with attack, then no attack and no abundant grace. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to go through another fight. Don't want another battle. I don't want the criticism. But if it means I get to experience the abundant grace of God, bring it on. Bring it on. God may allow the opposition or the problem to show you the supernatural success of God. Look at verse 15 again. For all things... Did it say all good things? For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Look at me. I've been through a lot of battles. I've had a lot of preachers around the country say, oh, he'll not make it. Guess what? I'm still sucking air. And it's not because of me, it's because of the abundant grace of God. And look what God's doing. Look what God is doing. It's not about me, it's about He. God's grace is not for you, it's for Him to show off how wonderful He is. Well, I just want the problem to go away. How about you ask God for abundant grace so that He can get the credit, so He can get the praise, so He gets the thanks, and not you? Somebody say amen. How about you let God show off by letting you go through a problem? 11 and a half years ago, we started Grace Baptist Church under persecution. You have no idea. But look what God's done. Look what God's done. Say, preacher, I have no enemies. I'm not anybody's enemy. It doesn't matter to me. Look what God did. Look what God has done. How about we quit looking at the problem and the criticism and the opposition and start looking for God's abundant grace? Let's quit sucking dirt with our lower lip while we're standing up. And say, God, I'm trusting you for a supernatural dose of your grace, and I'm going to keep on going. I'll keep on plowing. I'll keep on doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't feel like it. I don't like it. I don't like the attack, but I'll keep on going no matter what. Because I want people to see how good you really are. Have you ever looked back in the book of Exodus? Moses is on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. God's taking his own finger and writing in the tables of stone the law and the blueprints for the tabernacle and all the things needed. And Moses comes down and sees the people. They got their clothes off. They're half naked. They're dancing around a golden calf that a worldly assistant pastor had made. Yeah, his name was Aaron. He said that. I didn't. That was pretty good. I didn't catch that one at first. That was pretty funny. Wait a minute. Moses takes those tables of stone and throws them down, and God says, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses said, God, I don't think y'all do that. Why not? Because if you do, your enemies are going to say, you brought them out in the wilderness, couldn't handle them, and you had to kill them. How about you show them how great you are by not killing them? The very next chapter, these people are complaining, and Moses looks to God and says, God, kill them all. God says, I can't do that. Why not? If they ever agreed on the same day, there would be no Hebrew people. Trust me. But Moses was right. God, don't do this for your reputation's sake. Show everybody how great you really are. How about when the problems and the perplexities come and the distresses and the troubles come, we say, God, I'll go through it if you show yourself how great you are. Instead of mulling around in the mully grubs having a pity party in the juniper jungle. Oh, woe is me. Everybody doing okay? Abundant grace, supernatural grace. Number two. Look at verse 15 again. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the what? Thanksgiving. When you're under the gun, find things for which to be thankful for. I'm going to make a statement here. We live in a very ungrateful society. We're a bunch of ingrates. If you had enough food for lunch today, how about you thank God for it? Most of you have more food sitting in your cupboard and refrigerator and freezer or freezers than most people will have in a year in other countries. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got clean water that we don't have to walk down to and carry on top of our head in a jug. Not the jug that some of you carry, but we've got air to breathe that's decent. Go live in L.A. County for a while. Man, when you pull into L.A., you can see the brown fog that stays there 365 days a year. When I left L.A. and went to South Carolina, it took me about 6 months to get my lungs cleaned out. Then I went back to Chicago. It's just as bad. Got back to West Virginia and got back to clean air. Amen. You see, how about we thank God for the health we do have? If you still got up and came to church today, you got pretty good health. How about you thank God for your house? You say, well, it's not the one I wanted. You still have a place to live. Better be glad you're not living in a box on the side of a road somewhere. I've been in Mexico. I've been in little villages up in the mountains, in the Sierra Madre Mountains, way back, where we were the first white people that they've ever seen. They thought we were still mad at them from the Mexican-American War. I'm not kidding. They're so funny. Yeah, they still think that we were upset with them over Texas. Yeah, Texans are. Now, wait a minute. Preach the gospel. I've been in little homes, honestly, smaller than the size of this platform with 6 and 7 and 8 people living in it. Mud, adobe. Just grass and mud dried together in little blocks that they put up. Find some sticks somewhere and try to get some kind of material on the roof. And then all the critters and tarantulas and the scorpions are crawling in and out all day long. You don't put your boots on until you turn them over and shake them out real good. Nothing like waking up in the morning and you got a tarantula sitting right there. You open your hand that wide, it's that big, and it's big and fuzzy and black and furry, just looking at you with two little hooks coming out of its face. And you're thinking, uh-oh. And your buddy says, I'll get it. Don't you dare. And those things can jump about 20 feet in one leap. I mean, pew! You're thinking, just jump anywhere but on me right now. Scorpions everywhere. You just don't pick your boot up and put your foot in it. You bang it down and turn it upside down and bang it out. And all of a sudden, critters come on the ground. Yeah, glad I didn't do that. We used to take wads of paper and put in guys' boots that didn't check them. And they'd stick their foot in there. Oh, no, it got me, it got me. Yeah, they learned to fix their boots every morning, amen. How about we be thankful for what we do have? No matter how bad you have it, you don't have it that bad. Be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for your church. Be thankful for your house. Be thankful for your spouse, for your kids, your family, grandkids. You know, when you quit looking at what's opposing you and look at what you have to be thankful for, you get your eyes off of what you shouldn't be looking at and start looking at what you should look at. We look at what we should not look at way too much. You can't thank God and complain about your problem. It doesn't go together. Just take 15 minutes a day and make a list and tell God how thankful you are for everything that you have. That's my car. That's my truck. That's my house. That's my wife. That's my church. That's... God, thank you for all those things. Go through your closet. If you've got more than one change of clothes, you're doing pretty good. By the way, stay around thankful people, not critics. Don't hang around people that complain about everything. I don't like complainers. When people start complaining around me, I either ask them to quit complaining or I just walk away. I don't like listening to complaint. Now, if you're in my office and you're seeking help in something, that's not complaining. It's getting help. But when people just stand there and want to tell me everything, you know, well, it's sunny out today. Yeah, but it's too hot now. Some of you, God could give you heaven on earth and you'd complain about it. Because nothing is up to your standard. Well, get your nose out of the air, get your head out of the dirt, look up at God and be humbled. Number three, I got to hurry here. Don't quit. Look at verse 16. For the which cause we faint not. Don't give up. Don't quit. But preacher, I'm tired. Who's not? I get tired too. Well, I'm just going to leave and go somewhere else. That just means you're going to start new troubles. Geography doesn't change the problem. It amazes me how people think, well, I'll just change locations. You're going to have the same problems no matter where you go. It's just got a different name. Everybody doing okay? You can't run from your problems because when you do, you're going somewhere else that has just as many or more. And do me a favor, don't roll over and die and let the devil win. I get tired of sissy Christians. Well, I'm just going to give up. I'm so tired of this. I'm just going to quit and let the devil win. I'm not about to let old smutty face win. I got a good dose of the devil a long time ago and said, you might hurt me, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'll fight you to the last breath, and I will not let the devil win. I read the last chapter, and bless God, we win. Amen. Why do we want to roll over and say God's not big enough to take care of it? I'll tell you why, because you don't want the abundant grace. Well, I just want peace. Peace is a result of war. You want tranquility, not peace. I had an assistant pastor friend of mine. It's not worded in a way that I necessarily would, but it's good common West Virginia sense. He said, can't make love till you make war first. Amen. You're not going to love somebody till you go through some battles together. Amen. My wife and I have been together 35 years. We've weathered the storms. We started in the... in the storms of life, right out of the gate. We left and went, got married, and within the first year we were married, we were in Southern California. Thousands of miles from either of our parents. Got there, found out within a few months, that church had changed and not told anybody. Uh-oh. Well, I wasn't changing. We had a little battle going on. She got pregnant. Josh was born 4 months into his life. He's in the hospital, quit breathing. He's on life support for 3 weeks. I had a police escort to the hospital. My wife and I are driving our little 1984 four-speed escort down the 710 freeway as fast as I could drive it. Triple digits with police officers blocking the streets as we went through downtown Long Beach. It did. I think somebody was pushing us, called God. We got out of the car. They said, leave the keys in it. We'll find you. We'll park it. Just get in. The doctors and nurses were pulling us out of the car. We're signing papers going up to the third floor, and the door opens and everybody gets out and runs down the hallway. One nurse turns around and says, that dark room right there is yours. We'll be back in a little while. And for the next 3 hours, we knew nothing. One light in a room about the size of one of these sectioners' chairs. My wife said, are you going to call the preacher? I went across the hall and that was the day before cell phones. I said, you got a quarter? She had a quarter. I went over to the payphone and I called the preacher about 12:30, 12:45 in the morning. He said, what's wrong? I told him. He said, well, sounds like you got everything under control. I guess you don't have to be at the office in the morning. I'll talk to you later. I hung up the phone and went back to sleep. We were alone. I walked back across the hall and she said, is he coming? I said, no, he's got something else to do. I couldn't tell her. We got on our knees in that little dark room and I said, God, Josh was yours before he was ours. If you want him that bad, you could have him, but we're going to need some grace. We prayed. Anthony, I made a vow that night. I made a vow that as long as I'm in the ministry, somebody's not going to hurt and need help day or night, that I wouldn't be there. I don't want somebody to go through what we went through by ourselves. I don't. I told my wife, she said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to make it. think we led 7 doctors and nurses to Christ standing over our little baby's body on life support throughout that process. Can I tell you something? God's abundant grace is good. Do I want to go through it again? No. But I learned that day that His grace is good, and I'm going to help every person I can help in every problem they have, day or night. You call me. I'm not going to roll over and go back to sleep, and many of you know that. Say, but it's 2 in the morning. Second ring, I got it. Say, but preacher, no, just call. Don't want you to go through it by yourself. I can help you. You know, maybe we should decide we're not going to quit and let the devil win. My Bible says God doesn't give us more than we can take. Now, there's been many a time I didn't think I could take it. But all of a sudden, God kicked in and said, let me show you what you can do, son. That's when Sister Fatbottom came at the hospital. Big old Catholic nurse, and she said, you can't go in there. I just got him to sleep. I said, you can't stop me. I'm his dad. She said, oh, yes, I can. I'm Sister So-and-so. I said, I don't care who you are. You're going to get out of my way, or I'll get you out of my way. That's not your child. That's mine. Now get out of my way. She went off in a huff. My wife came up. She started to tell my wife she couldn't come in. I said, come on in, honey. She just keep walking. Don't listen to her. I wasn't the most popular person at the Catholic hospital. But you want to hear a miracle of God? The first bill we got from the hospital was $126,900 and some dollars. This is back in 1991, 92. Please remit with payment. Right, my great grandkids are going to pay for this. I went to the business office. I walked down there. There was almost $200,000 in medical bills. They said, well, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a Baptist pastor. I'm assistant pastor at such and such church. They said, you know, we know for the local Catholic clergy, we have something here, but never did it for a Baptist. But here, fill out this paperwork. I filled out the paperwork. I thought, man, 10% is better than nothing, amen? If I can get anything off this bill, it's going to help. Bills kept coming. I kept calling. They said, hold on. Just hold on to the bills. About 3 months later, I got a phone call. It was from the business office of St. Mary's Hospital. They said, Reverend Bush, we don't normally do this for people of other faith, but the board decided, since you're in the ministry full time and it was such a tragic thing with such a small child, that whatever your insurance doesn't pay, the hospital's already covered the cost. You don't owe anything. I ain't never thanked God for a Catholic in my life till that day. You talk about God, God did it, because I had a whole lot of upset Catholic nuns at me, let me tell you. I know who wasn't voting, and it wasn't Sister Fatbottom, amen? You know what? God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Maybe we ought to start looking at the abundant grace of God rather than the problem. Number 4, die to what you want. Die to what you want. Look at verse 16 again. For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man, that's our flesh. The inward man, that's our new nature, our spirit. And there's going to come a time where you have to curb the appetites of the flesh. I warned you a year or two ago, be careful about spending. Inflation's going up. Careful borrowing and this, that, and the other thing, because you're not going to be able to make enough money to pay all the bills if you got everything maxed out. When the interest rates go up, the credit card rates go up, And then you're losing money just making minimum payments. Be careful. You know, life doesn't always go according to plan. Matter of fact, life never goes according to plan. If you are over the age of 25, your life is not where you thought it would be. I'll guarantee it. It didn't turn out the way you planned. You're going to have to learn to die to what you want and learn to refresh the inward man. That means reading your Bible. That means learning to walk with God in prayer. That means learning to praise God every day of your life. That means learning to help others. And when you start renewing the inward man, you're able to take what's on the outside a little better. There's days I don't feel like doing what I got to do. But I'll go out and witness to somebody or be kind to somebody and I get the strength I need and I'll go back and tackle it again. Renewing the inward man. Look at me for a second. When your car gets low on gas, you don't take it to the junkyard and throw it away. You fill the tank back up, correct? Then why is it as we as Christians, when the tank gets low, we want to throw it away and walk away from it? God wants you to renew, refill day by day. Quit throwing the car away because it's empty of gas. Fill it up. Fill it up. Don't look too far ahead. When you're under the gun, don't try to think 3 months or 6 months or 9 months or a year down the road. Just get through today. Get through today. And tomorrow when you get up, get through tomorrow. When I'm under the gun, I don't plan too far ahead. I work on today. Yes, by the way, nobody has ever planned something and it came out the first time you planned it exactly the way you planned it. You were adjusting along the way. Life isn't going to be exactly the way you planned. You're going to make adjustments along the way. How about you look for the daily victories instead of the whole war being won? By the way, looking too far ahead could cause you to get more discouraged. You see how far you got to go. I hate long distance running. You say why? Because it's like it never ends. I hunt not too far from here and I can't drive my new truck down in there because it'll scrape the paint right off of it. And I'm not driving my truck in there, scrape all the paint off. So last year I had to pack out all my deer when I'd shoot them. You put 150 pounds of meat on your back and you got to hike 3/4 of a mile out and the hills back there are like this. They're long, they're steep. My wife went with me about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago when I shot one. She had to hold lights while I was getting this thing. And she said, honey, how are you? I said, I don't look at how far I got to go. I'm just looking at the next step. I knew where the hill was. I got to the bottom of the hill and I said, okay. I said, you may not keep up with me or you may pass me. Don't worry about it. I'll meet you at the top one way or the other. But I'm not going to say anything. I know what this hill's like. I went, whoop. I said, see you later. And I just started pumping. You say, did you look up the hill? I didn't want to look up that hill. I just looked at the next step and the next step and the next step. And when I finally hit that level spot, I went, good. Whoosh, boom, dropped it. And she was still coming up behind me. Now, wait a minute. Say, how'd you make it up? I didn't look too far ahead. I just looked at the next step. And that's how you'll get through that battle. You get through the next step. Don't look too far ahead. And lastly, live for eternal things, not temporary things. Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. while we look not at the things which are seen, the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. How about we look past what we have here and look at what we're going to have in eternity one day? Set not your affections on things of earth, but set your affections on things above, the Bible says. Affections. The things we love ought not be our guns and our cars and our sewing machines and all the different things we have. The things we love ought to be eternal things, not temporary. This little bump in the road you're going through now, what's it going to mean in eternity? Well, the bump in the road we had 31 years ago when Josh was in the hospital on life support, that was a pretty big bump. But we used it for eternal things. We had people saved. It changed our ministry to where when people are hurting, we're there. We've sat by the bedsides of thousands and thousands and thousands of people while they hurt because we know what it's like to be there by yourself. Will it really hurt that bad in comparison to eternity? Problems can't last forever. Heaven's a place where there's no problems. Then why are we making such a big deal of it down here? That's the recipe. How about we go live it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I did not say tonight, if you face those things. I said you will face those things. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. But God gave us a recipe to get through it.